Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino. This week, I am breaking down UFC Blaydes versus Pavlovich. We have a 12-fight card. Lock is at 4 p.m. Eastern. Not sure why it's 4 p.m. It's in Vegas. But anyway, we'll take it. It is what it is. They are back in the Apex, which kind of sucks, I guess, from a crowd perspective. We don't get to see... I don't know. I just think it's better with a crowd. We've seen crowds recently, but what I will say is we know the Vegas commission is a little bit more steady than some of these other commissions that we've seen in the recent weeks. We've had some really bad luck with some split decisions that really should have never even been split decisions. We have gotten robbed quite a few times. Started off last week's card with a major robbery, might have been the biggest robbery of the year, but... you go from commission to commission, and that's what you run into. You run into judges that don't necessarily do MMA all the time. We saw a referee last week telling a fighter to advance position when they were in mount. So I don't know how you advance from mount other than to go for a submission, which obviously could put you in jeopardy because you can give up position. So a bit ridiculous with some of these commissions, but they are back in the Apex, smaller octagon, so you know it is what it is. It'll be a fun card regardless, and you know we've got 12 fights. I think our luck is about to change. I feel a lot better about this card than I have about recent cards. They're always, you know, there's always curveballs that come our way, but I feel pretty good about this one, and let's just jump right into it. Our first fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Dana Batgari taking on Brady Hystand. Hystand has some pretty solid wrestling. He doesn't control all that well, but he does continuously go for the takedown, so he can be a bit of a problem there. I like Batgari in this one. I think his takedown defense is pretty decent. He's got the better striking, the better power. He'll be steady moving forward as well. Maybe he doesn't continue that forward pressure as much against the wrestler, but the way I see this, he's got the better experience. He's the better overall fighter. He has the ability to keep it on the feet. He's dangerous on the feet. Hystand still has some growing to do. Like I said, he is a solid wrestler, but doesn't always control well. Sometimes uses a lot of energy to wrestle, and he will eat some shots. And you don't want to be eating big shots from Dana Batgari because he will put you to sleep. I just think Batgari is a better fighter and more experienced fighter. I believe he'll get the job done here. Our next fight is in the women's flyweight division. We have Priscilla Cachoeira taking on Karini Silva. This is a pretty volatile fight. Every Cachoeira fight is pretty volatile. She is dangerous on the feet. And I have done pretty well betting her as an underdog, and I will do the same here. Her striking is good. Her grappling is where she gets into trouble. Silva could take advantage of that. But in my eyes, if Silva doesn't get her out of there early, the cardio is going to fall off. Cachoeira, she can... we've seen it, even if she's getting beat up. She can take a beating. She keeps a pretty high pace. She's dangerous throughout the entire fight. Her cardio is solid. And I just think this is a matchup where, you know, we don't know exactly how good Silva is. And I do know one thing that I saw that I didn't like about her was I do feel like her cardio falls off. She's a pretty aggressive fighter. Like I said, she is a good grappler. That's where she's probably going to have the biggest advantage in this fight. That's generally where anybody would have an advantage against Cachoeira. But Cachoeira seems to get the job done a lot. Her losses have come to some very tough opponents, Valentina Shevchenko and Jillian Robertson, who we've just saw get another submission win. And, you know, there's really no shame in losing to either one of those fighters. Those are the two times she was finished by submission. So, some high-level fighters that she's lost to. Overall, she's got a solid record, 12-4. Her power's good. You know, durability's there. It's just a matter of her kind of just weathering that first round storm. If it does go on the ground, that's where the trouble will lie. But to me, I think if she doesn't get submitted in the first round, she handles business, and honestly, I think she could win in the first round as well. So, dangerous fight for sure, you know, volatile, but she is the underdog, and like I said, I usually bet Castroweta as a dog, and she doesn't let me down very often, so, hey, I'll keep riding the train here. Our next fight is in the featherweight division. We have Francis Marshall taking on William Gomez. To me, Marshall looks like the real deal. Good wrestling, good pace. He'll take a shot or two, but he doesn't normally seem too phased. He keeps moving forward. Is a very sharp 1-2. His strikes are clean. Everything he does is just kind of consistent, consistent, consistent. You see him kind of wear on his opponents. If the fight goes long, he can wrestle for 3 rounds. He can stand for 3 rounds. We saw in his last fight, he does have solid power. He ended up winning by knockout there. Overall, just a very good fighter. I think William Gomez is solid. He's a dynamic striker, which is always a, you know, that can always be a problem. But he can be a little bit wild. He does have solid grappling. He does have good hips. He can defend a takedown well. He can land takedowns himself. He is tricky on the ground. He will throw up submissions. Overall, he's not a terrible fighter. I think he's a solid fighter. But when you compare the two, I just think Marshall is the better wrestler, the cleaner striker. Overall, just the more well-rounded fighter. I just think he's... I really do think he is a good fighter. And he has a lot of upside in this division. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. But like I said, I like his pace. I like his durability. His pressure, it's just all there. The cardio's good. I feel very good about Marshall. He's one of my favorite plays on the board. And he can win in any fashion. He can dominate the wrestling, just controlling. He can win on the feet. You know, he can pull out a submission. He has all the tools. And I feel like this is a matchup where he should be able to take advantage of his tools. Our next fight is in the heavyweight division. We have Junior Tafa making his debut against Muhammad Usman. I don't think Usman's a very good fighter. I really don't. He won the Ultimate Fighter. He won by knockout, which was kind of unexpected. He's a big punch. He's a big guy. He does, you know, he looks like he has a lot of power. But historically, he's kind of, I don't know, he relies on his size a little bit. He's a solid grappler. He's a solid striker, but his cardio's not great. His output's usually not great. And I just don't think he's a great fighter. I think Tafa has the kickboxing experience. He's not a world beater by any stretch, but he's a durable guy. He's 4-0 in his MMA career. He's finished all 4 fights. I think he'll find a way to get to Usman in this one. I'm not going to say he's going to knock him out, but I do feel like there's an outside chance. I think I will sprinkle a little bit on the knockout here. I just think, especially as the fight goes long, you know, unless they both just completely gas out and then who knows what's going to happen. But I don't know. I just think Tafa, just a better kickboxer. Just overall, I just think he's a better fighter. I'm not a big fan of Usman. And I think he kind of comes back to reality in this one. Our next fight is in the women's featherweight division. We have Carol Rosa taking on Norma Dumont. Both fighters, pretty good strikers. Both pretty good grapplers. It's really going to be... To me, it's going to come down to who implements the game plan. We've seen both fighters do well in the wrestling department. We've also seen both fighters get taken down and lose in the wrestling department. Or in the case of Dumont, she's been, you know, a little bit slow to pull the trigger. So there is some question marks with both fighters. There's a lot of upside with both of them. I like Rosa here. I think she can win the grappling. I hope she goes for it early, because I think if she does, that's going to be her key. When she gets on top, she has good control. She has pretty good ground and pound. Just overall, that's kind of where she's best. Striking, like I said, they're both good strikers. It's really just going to come down to who implements the game plan. I think Rosa does that here, and I think she gets the job done. Our next fight is in the bantamweight division. We have Montel Jackson taking on Ronnie Yahya. Jackson's a huge favorite here. I'm picking Jackson to win because I do think he has the advantage in the striking. He is long. He's tall. He's a better striker than Yahya. Yahya's striking is pretty ugly. The grappling is where this fight gets kind of interesting because Ronnie Yahya is an amazing grappler. His jiu-jitsu's high level, and you know, he's been on a nice little run lately. The odds will tell you that Jackson's going to win by knockout, but Yahya, despite the fact that he has been clipped at times, he does not look good on the feet. He's only been knocked out one time in his career, and he's fought a lot of the best fighters in the division. So, while it's definitely a possibility, and, you know, I definitely wouldn't be shocked if it happened, I think this fight's a lot closer than what the odds will say. And I think it's going to be a real sweat if Yahya comes out and lands a couple takedowns, which he is capable of doing. He doesn't have strong wrestling, but he does usually find a way to get a hold of people, get them to the ground, and when he does, he is very dangerous. We've seen Jackson get taken down in the past, and you know, sometimes he'll accept it because he knows how good he is on the ground. So he's like, okay, you want to take me down? We can play that game. I'm longer. I have good skills. I can catch you in something. But, you know, it's not a game that I would want to play with Ronnie Yahya. To me, the game plan should be to keep it standing, get Yahya tired, and find a late finish. If I'm predicting a finish for Jackson, I would think it's later, second, third round, I think, as Yahya does. We have seen Yahya get tired in the past. It's possible, you know, against a strong grappler, a taller guy, a longer guy, good striker, we could see Yahya's gas tank come into play here. So I do think Jackson wins. Not really sure how I want to play it. DraftKings, obviously, he's an unbelievable price. I think he's 9,700, which is not always easy to play, especially if, you know, it's kind of weird because it could turn into a grappling affair where there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of transitions, which can lead to points, you know, reversals, takedowns, all that stuff could lead to a lot of points. But, you know, Yahya has that ability to kind of stalemate. Yahya goes for submissions. He could hold Jackson into a submission for a long period of time. We've seen Jackson get stuck in things, but he does have a lot of composure. He takes his time. He usually works his way out without a problem. But, you know, from a DraftKings perspective, if he gets caught in something and he spends 3 minutes just kind of waiting it out, trying to figure out how to get out of the position, not going to score a lot of points. So this fight, to me, very volatile. Could be a massive big-time point scoring. He could get, you know, early knockouts possible. Ton of grappling. That could rack up the points. It could definitely be high scoring, but it could also be, you know, kind of a stalemate where they get stuck on the ground and, you know, neither one of them really dominates. And, you know, Jackson at 9,700 all of a sudden is not worth the price. So not really sure how I want to play it. I think if I were to bet it, I would probably just bet Jackson inside the distance just to try to get better price. But honestly, this fight's going to bother me all weekend. And, you know, I'm going to try not to let it ruin my weekend. But, you know, the biggest issue would be if I don't play him and he scores a million points. But, you know, it is what it is. So I like Jackson. I definitely think it's a closer fight than the odds would say. And that's just what it is. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Rick Glenn taking on Christian Yagos. I'm not a big fan of Yagos. He is very hittable. He can be hurt on the feet. He does take a lot of damage. His grappling is good, but Rick Glenn has pretty solid takedown defense. We've seen him get taken down in the past, but he gets up pretty well. He has good get-ups. He has pretty good scrambles. Just a really well-rounded game. His striking is definitely going to be where he can take advantage. I think he could knock Yagos out. Overall, to me, I just think Glenn is just a better fighter. He's the more experienced at the higher level and just dangerous on the feet. I'm not too worried about the grappling. I think if, you know, the fight goes to the ground, he's fine there. And to me, Yagos, not a great fighter. His wins in the UFC have, you know, recently he's been hurt really bad and survived, had his opponent gas out, which was the Soriano fight. But, you know, we've seen Soriano. He is dangerous on the feet too, but man, you take him down and the guy's done when it gets to the ground. And so Yagos kind of got lucky, I guess you would say, with that matchup. And then he's been finishing a couple fights recently. So I don't think he's a great fighter. And I think Rick Glenn is a better fighter. So really like Rick Glenn in this spot. I definitely think he can win by knockout, but even if it goes to decision, I just think he's going to look better throughout the fight, and he's going to get his hand raised in the end. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Jeremiah Wells taking on Matthew Semelsberger. Semelsberger is a guy who looks good at times, and he looks kind of like a dud at other times. Jeremiah Wells is explosive, big power, good grappling. He's durable. His two losses were both in five-round fights, both five-round decision losses. He's finished 9 of 11. He trains over at, Henzo Gracie Philadelphia with guys like Sean Brady. I can't think of all the names now, but that crew over there in Philly, Paul Felder, Joe Pfeiffer, there's a handful of like five or six as I'm speaking here. All the names are escaping me, but those guys have all looked really good, including Wells. You know, the one loss that we've seen recently from that crew was Brady against Bilal Muhammad, you know, and there's really no shame in that. Brady looked good in that fight. Bilal Muhammad was just better. It was his biggest step up, and, you know, He met his match. But overall, that Philly crew is really good. I hate Philly. I hate the Eagles. But, you know, when you have a good gym, you have a good gym. So it is what it is. So I like Wells here. I think he's extremely dangerous, obviously. He could win by knockout. He could win by sub. His grappling's good. Semelsberger, you know, he looked great in his last fight. Like I said, he has looked great at times. He's a big guy. He has good striking. He has solid grappling. He's an overall pretty good fighter. But to me, Wells is more dangerous overall. Wells is more explosive and the better wrestler. And I've got to go with Wells in this matchup. Our next fight is in the strawweight division. We have Yasmin Lucindo taking on Brogan Walker. I love Lucindo in this spot. We saw her in her debut last summer. She looked really good. She lost, but it was an awesome fight. She pushed the pace, landed big shots, back and forth. It was an unbelievable fight. Two debuting fighters that both showed that they belong in the UFC. Walker, on the other hand, pretty much got steamrolled in the Ultimate Fighter finale. Got just kind of ragdolled and then finished. Was not impressed at all. She does have some decent competition on her record, but I don't know. She just didn't look like she belonged in that fight. And I just, you know, I just can't put any faith in her. I just think Lucindo looks like the real deal. She has good Muay Thai, so her hips are good. Tough to take her down. She can land some throws. She has a really nice body lock takedown. Very good striker. The striking is where she is best. But, you know, she gets that body lock. She throws her opponents to the ground. That's a problem, especially the way we saw Walker in her last fight. So, you know, obviously that's a pretty clear path if she wanted to go that route. So, I like Lucindo here. She's a pretty decent size favorite, but I think for good reason. I don't think Walker is really UFC material. We'll see. Maybe she just had an off night. But I think Lucindo is the real deal here. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Bobby Green taking on Jared Gordon. A lot of you might remember Gordon from getting robbed in that Paddy Pimblett fight, which I will agree, I had Paddy Pimblett to close out a parlay, which I was happy that I got that lucky win. But in all reality, Jared Gordon, you know, the cries for robbery, and you know, it's all we've heard about anytime he speaks is the fight was not great. He landed 60 strikes. You know, he landed a few takedowns where he didn't really do much with it. He's taking on Bobby Green here, who not only is Bobby Green a better boxer, he's a better wrestler. He has much better pace, much better output. To me, I think Bobby Green absolutely dominates this fight. I would expect him to land upwards of 120, 130 strikes, maybe a takedown or two, depending, because Gordon probably will try to grapple a little bit, because I really do think he's going to get outclassed on the feet. I just, the pace of Bobby Green is extremely high, and as long as he comes out and he fights with that pace and that style, I don't see really a path for Gordon, because Gordon really doesn't have knockout power. Obviously, anybody can land a big shot. You know, so, weird things happen in fights, but if you're really breaking it down, Gordon does go to a lot of decisions, doesn't really have knockdowns to speak of, his volume's not great. This is really just a matchup for Bobby Green to bounce back. And we saw in his last fight, he looked amazing against Drew Dober. He landed 73 strikes in less than two rounds. He ended up getting finished in that fight. But really, the only reason he lost that fight was because he was fighting Drew Dober. And Drew Dober has an ironclad chin. Bobby hit him with massive shots. Dober didn't go anywhere. And Dober does what Dober does. He takes some damage, and then he lands massive power. And that's what he did. So there is, you know, there is a thought that Bobby got knocked out in the last fight. You know, who knows how he's going to come back. But, you know, he's been down before. He always comes to fight. He's good friends with Nate Diaz. He's kind of just got that scrappy mentality. And it looks like he's ready to roll. And as long as Bobby Green does Bobby Green's things, I think he's just going to win on pace. I definitely think he could find a finish in this one. I just think he's head and shoulders better than Jared Gordon. And, you know, yes, Jared Gordon got robbed against Paddy Pimblett, but that really showed us more about that Paddy Pimblett's not really all that great, as opposed to that Jared Gordon really is. So, love Bobby Green here, if you haven't noticed. Love Bobby Green, think he gets the job done. And I think for DraftKings, I think he's going to put up some points. Obviously, he's priced up, so that kind of sucks. But, you know, there's a lot of high-priced fighters on this card. A lot. I think there's like 7 or 8 fighters in the $9,000 range, which is crazy. But it is what it is. So I like Bobby Green. I feel very good about Bobby Green. I feel like he's a good, solid cash play just on his volume and durability. And, yeah, like Bobby Green. Our co-main event is in the middleweight division. We have Brad Tavares taking on Bruno Silva. I like Tavares here. Really, I just think Tavares is a legitimate UFC vet. He's fought some of the best. He's fought the best, honestly. And he's looked good in most of his fights. He's a durable guy. It really takes a lot to get him out of there. And his pace is usually pretty good. He's well-rounded. Taking on Bruno Silva, who Silva's good. He has good power. He can grapple. He looked atrocious in his last fight. It was weird because he put up a halfway decent fight against Alex Pereira, but that was, you know, more so because he was able to wrestle a little bit in that fight. Probably if he wrestled more, Pereira would have never even got to the title fight, because I think Silva could have beat him. But that was just a matchup that made Silva look a little bit better than he was. And he still ended up getting beat in that one. His two wins in the UFC, not the most impressive. And we saw against Gerald Meerschaert, who's a legit, like, kind of gatekeeper type guy, Silva looked terrible. I mean, I don't know. You call it a bad night, you call it what it was, but, you know, after a performance like that, then to go on and fight a guy like Brad Tavares, I just don't, you can't have a bad night against Brad Tavares, or it's going to look exactly the same as the last one. So I like Brad Tavares here. I think Tavares is just a solid overall fighter. He's durable. He's got decent pace. Just good. He's good. He's well-rounded. He can take the fight anywhere. And Silva just, I don't know. He just hasn't really looked like he belongs in that upper echelon of the middleweight division. And I think Tavares beats him on Saturday night. Our main event in the heavyweight division, we have Curtis Blaydes taking on Sergey Pavlovich. This is, you talk about a contrast of styles. Pavlovich, massive power. He's fast. He starts fast and he finishes fast. All first round fights in the UFC, which obviously, if the fight goes long, then you start to favor Curtis Blaydes. But to me, we've seen Blaydes have issue with power guys in the past. And I just think if Pavlovich lands early or at all, it's going to be lights out. He's just too powerful. We saw it against Tai Tuivasa. Tai Tuivasa's got a chin and a half on him. And the first few shots he landed had Tuivasa in big-time trouble. And that's how I think Pavlovich wins this fight. Obviously, Blaydes is going to want to wrestle. Blaydes clearly the better wrestler if he can land the takedown. That's going to make the fight much more interesting. But in all reality, I just think it's going to look similar to the Derek Lewis fight with Blaydes, where, shoot in for a takedown, you get clipped with something, he could get hit on the outside. There's so many opportunities for Pavlovich to land a big shot. And his aggressive style, I just think he lands and he wins this fight. Which makes it obviously interesting from a DraftKings perspective, because, normally, obviously, stacking the main event is a solid option. I'm not sure. The problem is it's a fight that can go drastically one way or the other. So, obviously, if Blaydes wins, he's probably going to score a ton of points. But if Pavlovich wins, he's going to score a lot, and Blaydes probably isn't going to score anything. So I don't know how I want to play that, but I guess we'll figure it out. I'll put out some info on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all those places. I'll try to put out as much as I can. Final thoughts, cash core type stuff, and my bets, whatever I normally do at TommyZ_MMA. That's where you can find me on all of those platforms. And, I'll try to keep everything posted as much as possible. As I'm recording this, weigh-ins are just about over. From what I've seen, nobody has missed weight yet. We had a few fighters that came in a half pound over, but they just took the shorts off, got behind the little box or whatever that thing is, and made the weight. So I don't think there was any issues with weight. As of yet, we'll see. There was probably like 6 fighters still left to go. So we'll update that accordingly. But yeah, I feel pretty good about this card. Like I said, we've had a lot of weird things happening. We've had a lot of bad decisions. We've had, some surprises that these things happen. But when you pile the surprises and the bad decisions together, obviously that can lead to some bad times. But I feel much better about this card than some of the ones we've had recently. I feel like we're going to have a big day. And, So, until next time, good luck on Saturday.